Blog Talk Radio.
March 10th on The Roman Show. I'm your host, Rodolfo Roman. Follow me on Twitter at RomanDH. Today's guest, CJ Pierce of Drowning Pool. Edwin Mejia, the producer of Generation Iron. Kubita, better known as Highlander Rodriguez, will be fighting at the House of Fame event Friday, March 13th. You don't want to miss that. All of these folks will be joining us here today on The Roman Show.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready. You're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off in the bank.
Booster. Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go.
Five.
Guidance.
Sensible.
Surgeon.
Go. Light.
Go.
We're go. Light.
GNC.
We're go.
Telling you.
Go.
Control.
Go.
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 FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Covering.
Go.
Capcom.
Go flight.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
The Roman Show.
With your host, Rodolfo Roman.
Welcome everyone, March 10th on The Roman Show. CJ Pierce of Drowning Pool. Kubita Rodriguez invites at the House of Fame. Fight card this Friday, March 13th, the Bank United Center, Coral Gables, will join us, along with Evan Mejia, producer of Generation Iron, which is already on Netflix. You can check that out. If you haven't had an opportunity, please do. It's a documentary based on bodybuilding. It's the modern pumping iron, but it really takes a different look into the bodybuilders. It really goes in-depth. It follows guys like Mr. Olympia, Phil Heath, Kai Greene, and what it takes them to go on stage and build that physique. So if you haven't had the opportunity, please do so now. Generation Iron on Netflix, or you can catch it on buy it on iTunes or Google Play or any of those sites where you can have the ability to watch these movies. But that's right. This Friday, March 13th, the Bank United Center at the University of Miami campus, Mixed Martial Arts returns. It's been a while, folks. It's been about 2 years since that venue has hosted any mixed martial arts event, last one being CFA. But House of Fame, that is the promotion that will be housed that night, March 13th. And the greatest thing is that Fat Joe, popular recording artist, will be on board. He will be performing during the intermission. Everybody remembers Lean Back. Who can forget that joint? He'll be there along with all the great fighters that will be in action that Friday night. You can purchase your tickets right now via Ticketmaster.com. But in just a few seconds or a few minutes, we're going to welcome Frank Morajon, a man who knows a lot about Florida mixed martial arts. And he has some very good news for us, because you'll be able to go and attend this event absolutely free, courtesy of The Roman Show and House of Fame MMA. If you can't make it, you can watch it live on GFL.TV. I actually have the opportunity of calling the action in Espanol with my amigo, Hector Lombard, UFC fighter. Him and I will be calling all the action in Espanol para que todo el mundo lo escuchen. Lo que va a pasar en las artes marciales mixtas that very same night. So GFL.TV is the site. You can catch it there starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Or if you live in the South Florida area, head on over to the Bank United Center in Coral Gables. A House of Fame MMA makes his debut in South Florida. Frank Morajon joins us now with the good news that we're giving away these free tickets to watch House of Fame MMA. But Frank, finally we get some mixed martial arts into this venue, which has been known to host several MMA promotions in the past.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks for having me on board, first of all. Thanks for the coverage. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. Bank United Center absolutely is a home for MMA, you know, and it's kind of strange because you don't see boxing there, but you do see mixed martial arts there. So we've had some shows in the past, but I will tell you this show will rock any other show that has been there previously. You guys are in for a treat. You guys are in for a great surprise. These guys are going all out on the show. It is going to be amazing. And what I like about it the most is that it's actually bringing something back to the MMA fans, the MMA experience. So those who are, you know, are used to going out to the club scene and seeing fights and going to other places that is not as highest caliber than the Bank United Center, you guys are going to get to feel what it is to be an MMA fan, to be an MMA, to have an MMA experience. So I recommend that everybody go out there, enjoy not just the fights, but the music, the entertainment. It really is a full package event to go to.
And I want to let everybody know that the fun starts on Thursday at Newport Beachside for the weigh-ins, and that's at 16701 Collins Avenue in Sunny Isles Beach. I've been at Newport Beachside. It's a beautiful location, and you're going to see the fighters there weighing in, along with Kelly Keem, American Idol contestant, and, of course, Fat Joe. Are we all going to be leaning back, Frank?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. You know, I will, brother. I'll be leaning back all the way. Fat Joe, incredible artist, and, you know, his reputation speaks for itself. You know, he's got a current single out there with Jennifer Lopez, No Stressing. So if you haven't checked that video out or that song out, go on YouTube, type it in, No Stressing, Jennifer Lopez, Fat Joe, amazing song. Yeah, man, he's going to be there at the weigh-ins. Weigh-ins are going to be ridiculous. It's going to be a movie. It is going to be crazy. You've got special guests there. Fat Joe, of course, you know, other DJs, well-known, famous DJs are going to be there spinning on the wheels of steel. Fighters are going to be there, of course, weighing in, having a good time, taking pictures with the fans. It's going to be at the Newport, like you said. It's right off the beach, man, right on Collins Avenue. It's right off the beach. We're going to have – it's so big. This weigh-in thing is so huge that we're going to have to probably take it outside right off by the beach. So everybody's wondering what attire to go to. I say bring your shorts, bring your suntan lotion, and come in sandals and just enjoy it, man. It's going to be a nice, nice time. Fighters all weighing in. You get Anderson Hutchinson, Danny Chavez, MMA Masters, White Boxing, them two schools are going to go at it by those two fighters. You got Guida, of course, you know, Cuban Bread. He's up against the fight with Gleason De Jesus, ATT. So MMA Masters versus ATT, another school rivalry there as well. It's going to be an awesome event, man. If you don't make it out, you are missing out, bottom line.
And for the folks not in South Florida, Frank, we'll remind them that if you're in Kansas or if you're in New York or wherever you are, GFL.TV is where you can catch it live. But, Frank, the show is based on USA versus Cuba. I understand that some of the Cuban fighters were coming from the actual island. Can you explain exactly what happened there? And are we going to see these Cuban natives fight Friday?
Yeah, absolutely. When USA versus Cuba came on board, the premise was, hey, what if actual Cuban MMA fighters, which, again, already addresses the question, is there MMA in Cuba? The answer to that is yes. We teamed up with an organization called Judo Kickbox, which is the first mixed martial arts, Cuban martial arts in Cuba that addresses the mixed martial arts. So getting with those guys, Carlos Fernandes, and which played a huge part in this whole thing, we're able to connect to Cuba. Carlos himself has flown to Cuba two or three times already, seen the fighters, handpicked them basically, and they're ready, man. These guys are ready. So what we're standing at right now with the Cubans is that all the paperwork has been processed, everything has been done in our end. We're just waiting on the Cuban government to give us the okay on it and make it happen. But I think everybody's like, hey, you know, Cuba, you know, do they have the same technology that the U.S. does? Do they have the same equipment? Are they eating right? Are they nutritionally fit? I don't know if you guys seen the videos, but go on HOFMMA.com and check out some of those Spanish videos. Go on YouTube, type in Cuba MMA. You'll see they're training as equally as hard, and it got it's really like a Rocky story, like Rocky versus Apollo Creed, where Apollo Creed, they would cut to a scene where he's in the gym hitting on a bag, and then you cut to Rocky, and Rocky's in a meat freezer hitting on some lamb and some ribs. You know, you shoot back to Apollo Creed, and he's doing some sit-ups on this machine. You shoot back to Rocky, and he's doing logs,
right,
and picking up trees. And so that's kind of like the same idea, like which one of the two is a better man? And the one with the more heart and has less accessibility to where he can grow as a champion, or the one that has everything in his feet and everything that's given to him so that he can normally be a champion? So
now,
I think
question,
it's an amazing fight, the two coming at it.
These Cubans, they're scheduled to fight at an amateur level, not a professional level. Is that accurate?
You have done your homework, my friend. Absolutely. The Cuban government does not allow them to come into the United States and work as a professional. They will be amateurs. There's nothing we can do about that. That's the way it is. So basically, we're going to have them fight within the amateur division. Now, the only difference between that, of course, and the pro is, yes, there are some restrictions with equipment and ground and pounds, which is, you know,
mm-hmm.
mount someone and pound them from a sitting position as you're sitting on their waist or on their chest. You can strike down towards that opponent. But besides
and
that,
are they scheduled
absolutely correct.
And,
they will be fighting amateur.
And will they fight before the actual fight card or within the fight card?
Well, in the state of Florida, great question again, and I'm glad you asked that. In the state of Florida, there is no pro-am fight. So it's either a pro fight or an amateur fight, but it can't be a mix of it. So what we tend to do is, if the Cuban government approves it and everything goes well and we're on track, then what we're going to have is the amateur fight first, and then we're going to have the pro fight second.
And how many Cuban fighters are we going to get aside from the 10-fight card that we have so far?
Well,
how many of the amateurs?
We put in a request for all the visas for a few fighters, but realistically, probably we're going to get about 4 to 5 fighters to build a card with.
So roughly we're looking at about 4 amateurs and 10 professionals.
Correct. I think we're at 11 fights. In the pro world.
And that's going to be 11 fights. And then we're going to, for those watching it on GFL.TV, they're going to see the amateur bouts as well?
Correct.
Great.
I'm waiting for, the Cuban government to go ahead and approve everything. And once everything is set, everything looks good, we're going to set it up to where, again, the amateurs go first. Then there's going to be a break. And then there's going to be the pro show. But it'll all be on GFL-TV. I mean, that's history in the making, you know. And we also don't forget the Cuban-Americans that are on the card as well. So what we're going to do with the pro side, with the Cuban-Americans, is we're going to probably make one event, one fight, just a regular fight. Then the next fight will be Cuba versus USA. Then a regular fight, and the next fight will be Cuba versus USA. So in the pro world, with the Cuban-Americans, we're going to scatter them around.
Great. Well, Frank, I want to thank you so much for joining us here. And we're going to give 2 pair of tickets. All you got to do is go ahead and like the fan page, facebook.com/Roman Show Media, and we'll hook you up with a pair of tickets, and you'll have your way House of Fame MMA for free, courtesy of House of Fame MMA and the Roman Show. Frank, thanks so much. Looking forward to the fight. I'm going to be calling the action with Hector Lombard in Espanol. So I'm excited myself. And I invite everyone, Newport Beachside, Thursday, right before the fight. Anything else you want to add, Frank?
That's it, my brother. Thank you so much for having me on board, man. Thanks so much for the coverage. www.hofmma.com. Get your tickets there or get them at ticketmaster.com. It is a night of celebration. Fat Joe is in the house. Great fights, great night. Hope you guys will be there.
Done deal. Thanks, Frank. Talk to you soon. All righty, folks. Thanks for joining us here on The Roman Show. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back with Hyander Covita Rodriguez, who will be fighting on that fight card on March 13th, Friday the 13th. And don't worry, I'm not too superstitious, so we're going to have a good night that night with Fat Joe and everyone else. We'll be right back on The Roman Show. And if you're looking for an affordable website, look no more. Just visit OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. They have you covered. Affordable websites for your business. And every business needs a website. They take care of TheRomanShow.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. All right, everyone. MMA returns to South Florida at the Bank United Center in Coral Gables as a Hall of Fame. Takes place, Bank United Center. Tickets are on sale right now, Ticketmaster.com. The event will take place on March 13th. Do not miss it. Special performance of Fat Joe and so much more. We're on the line right now. We have Hyander Rodriguez. He'll be fighting Gleason De Jesus on the fight card. Hyander Cubita, welcome to the Roman Show.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Well, it's been a while since you've been in action. I want to say, since the CFA fight card that you've been in action?
Yeah, that's correct. That was 3 years ago. But I tell you this, man, I'm training with the best thing ever, MMA master, man, you know, and I'm in a great shape. I've been doing my homework, class work, so I'm very excited for March 13th, you know, more than ready to you know, for my next battle, and like always, you know, excited and ready to put a good show, man.
And how come the layoff, the 2 years?
Guess what, man? I've been getting a lot of knowledge and experience and, you know, more nothing. I know I'm going to be a little rusty in the cage, but guess what? Like I say, my knowledge, my experience is gonna be a big factor in this fight. And you know, I can't wait for March 13th. You guys gonna see Cubita's back always better than ever.
Yeah, I remember your last fight. It was definitely something breathtaking, just nonstop, you know, trading blows. Coming into this fight, though, you are fighting Gleason De Jesus, a young kid, a young prospect. What can you tell me about his opponent? Have you seen him in action here in South Florida fighting?
Yeah, he's a very excited fighter, you know, training with a great camp, ATT. You know, but, I mean, it's tough to make fights, and I'm not a mutt. I can fight. This is what I love to do, man, and this is in my blood. I've been doing this for many, many years, and I'm pretty sure, like I said, my experience is going to be a big factor in this fight, and my cardio is amazing right now, man. You know, I've been doing everything that I have to do, follow my coaches, my strategy, my training camp. So, you know, I've been with the best guys here in South Florida, man, and you know, ready, excited. I can't wait. March 13th, you know, Edge Oil is giving me an opportunity to enjoy it and the show and be part of the band and, you know, represent my country, Cuba, which is, you know, it's always a pleasure for me, you know. One more time, I can't wait March 13th, man. Very excited, very focused. And
that's going to be great because you have the crowd support there. Obviously, a lot of the population here in South Florida are of Cuban descent. And going in there, that right there, is it nerve-wracking knowing that you have the support of all these people?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Say it again.
Does it get you a bit nervous coming back? It's been 2 years, and you have all the support from the Cubans down here in Miami.
It's not funny that you can say that. Not, you know, there's always butterflies, but the ones that are ring bell, man, is me and him, and like I said, experience is gonna be a big factor, and none, you know, always butterflies, but I'm not nervous at all, man. This is in order for us to step in the cage, you need to have that in your blood, and you need to love this. This is a passion, you know, what we do, and you know, it's more than I have. It's like an addiction. So yeah, I'm very excited, man, and like I said, butterflies, but I'm not nervous at all. I can't wait to come back and put my name out there, represent my own school that I have, you know, I got my gym, Open Kendo, Cubita MMA, and also my MMA master, my coaches, my training partners, and, you know, my family, they always support me, always step on my side, my fans, you know, and the crowd, man, that they always, you know, look forward to see, two excited fighters, putting a good show, you know. I got nothing but respect for my opponents, a young kid, very strong kid, You know, he came to fight, and I'm coming to fight. I'm coming to fight, so I'm pretty sure that both we're gonna put a good show. And then, the end of the night, we're gonna shake hands, show respect for each other. That besides that, those three five minutes round, we're gonna try to rip our hair out of our shoulders. But you know, that's part of the show, you know.
And Kurita, going into this fight, I remember not too long ago you had an incident. Where your house it had a fire?
Yeah, 3 years ago. 3 years ago. That's why I'm being off a little on the cage. I'm trying to stand back on my feet. My house burned down on December 23rd last year. I mean, 2 years ago. But I'm a warrior. When I get here back into 1992, 1 week before Andrew, I get here and you know, basically I was naked, and you know, but warriors is. It's our job to make things happen and go up there and the field and borrow and make things happen, you know. So as long as I'm healthy and I'm able to sleep next to my kids and my wife that I've been married for two decades, 20 years, you know, hey, man, I make things happen. So yeah, I'm more than ready for this fight.
And how did you get – so tell me a little about your story, how you got in martial arts. You said you got here during the Hurricane Andrew era in the United States?
Actually, I started my judo career when I was 4 years old in Cuba. And then I did judo from 4 years to almost nine. When I was nine, I did the crossover switch to wrestling. Came in 1992 and 1992, 1 week before Andrew. And a few years later, I met Tigres, and I started, like, you know, I started practice kickboxing. I fell in love with kickboxing. I did a couple of Muay Thai fights, and then I remember that my first fight was against David Love. This guy was 15 wins, 15 losses. So that was my first MMA fight. Wow. I never did amateur fight. Back in the day, you don't need to have amateur MMA fights in order for you to do a pro debut. So my first MMA fight was against David Love, who was 35. It was a very exciting fight for me, and man, since then, 2005, I'm been, you know, in love with this martial arts. Been growing day by day, and learning every day. Don't something that I have that, you know, I'm always willing to learn. That's what makes me a great athlete. You know, I learn from my students, for the rookie, for the amateur. You know, I'm not the type of fighter that I think that I know everything. You know, I think that I need to know everything, and I always are willing to learn. That's what makes me a great athlete.
So you came to the United States in '92 during the Hurricane Andrew?
Yeah, and 1 week before Andrew, and then I remember my dad used to owe to his friend $31,000. In that time, it was a lot of money. And I went straight 1 week. 1 week after the Andrew, I went work and doing roofing. I was 16 years old. That was my welcome to Miami, man. And since then, you know, I've been working, trying to make things happen. And then a few years later, I met my wife, wonderful woman that got put me next to me. And from then, I've been raising my family, you know. And it's been a good journey, man. Awesome, you know. I have to thank God in this country for allowing me. You know, to pursue my dream and raise my family and pursue my dream in this country, in a social country, a big country like this, man. It has opportunity for everybody, you know.
So now you own the gym in Kendo, Kurita's MMA. How long have you had the gym for?
I got this gym since, actually, I opened November 5th, 2012, and December 23rd, a month later, my house was burned down with no insurance. So I'm being open basically 2 years. I have a 5,000 square feet facility. We have a 20x20 cage. We have a boxing ring 20x20. We have wrestling mat, kickboxing. We have showers, weight rooms. Pretty big gym, man. And we have bags. We have everything, you know. Like I said, 5,000 square feet facility where, you know, we have waiting rooms, homework rooms, and so far so good, you know. I have a. A lot of students, young generation MMA that I'm been racing, building and doing what I love to do, man. That is nothing better than that.
Well, you definitely have had a journey, man. A lot of struggles, but you always find a way to bounce back.
Exactly, man. That's our job as a warrior. I'm gonna say this in Spanish.
Sure.
Dios le da sus peores batallas a sus mejores guerreros, y yo soy un hijo de Dios.
There you go, Kurita. It's very true, very strong thing, but you've kept your mind straight. And I think
that's a good example for future mixed martial artists and even in life, you know, because it gives you battles, but as long as you keep your head straight, you're able to overcome it and do something good for yourself.
Exactly. I'd rather deal I'd rather deal with economy and money now with health and physical problems, you know. Like I said, I have two beautiful kids, a wife that she supported me, she always stand by my side, watching my back for two decades, man. And there's nothing better than that, you know. I'm Cuban, man. Being Cuban is a bless, you know. When you have faith and you never be weak and in front of God, I always gotta give you another day for you to go up there and make this happen. I pray for what I need and I work very hard for what I want. You know, I don't like to dream where success. I like to work hard for it, and that keep me always on my feet.
And Kurita, with now, obviously, I'd like to get your opinion with now that the United States have built the relations with Cuba. If there were to be a fight card of MMA in Cuba, would you fight in your homeland?
Oh, man, that would be a bless. Of course I would fight in my homeland, of course. Of course, that would be a bless. Go over there, you know, with my people, around my people and my country, a country that has seen me, you know, that has seen me, you know, grow. I lived in Cuba for 16 years, man, and you know, and everybody's proud about his rules, you know. And of course, I would have fought in Cuba. Hell yeah! I mean, there's no doubt about it. I wouldn't think it twice.
But you haven't gone ever since.
I went back. I came here back in '92, like I said, and I went back in 2008, 2009. That my grandpa and my sister-in-law passed away with cancer. And since then, I didn't have the opportunity to go back. You know, it's hard, like I said, raise two kids here and maintain the family, and especially when you when you have priorities in life. But, I only went back two times. And I planned to go, hopefully, see if next year everything a little better, I'll go back to my country. But that question is very, very, you know, is very important for me. Yes, without the opportunity to go and fight my own land, I mean, who better than me, man? Hell yeah.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of you. You know, you got Hector, Alexis, Yoel, that you guys are very involved in mixed martial arts and have had a success. And I think it'd be a great thing to see you guys over there. Maybe one day, right? Compete in front of your people.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Of course. You know, you gotta have faith and like I said, you know, it's not about, you gotta work for success. You cannot dream with, but it's nothing but to dream. You know, one day, why not? Like you said, one day, why not?
Well, Kurita, I want to thank you so much. Anything else you want to add?
Say it again.
Anything else you want to add?
Well, like I said, you know, first of all, really quick, I wanna thank God. I wanna, you know, for give me the opportunity, you know, to be in the show and come back after 2 years of being activity, and as you well for giving me the opportunity to be in the main card, and my teammate is my camp MMA master, and my family for always stand by my side, and all the fans that always support Kurita and you know, and also this country, man, it's a great country. You know, sometimes we complain because, you know, the economy is this, you know, but, you know, man, when it's not all the better place to live in the United States, man. Everybody wants to live here, and we gotta, you gotta life, you gotta balance life, you know, you gotta focus on the good things that we have and not whining about the bad things that we have. So, you know, pretty much that's that, man. You know, thanks to God and all the people that always support Kurita, you know. And also my opponent, I want to thank my opponent for him to step in the cage with me and battle that night for 3 5-minute round. You know, mom, a lot of respect for him and for his can also on ATT.
Wonderful, Vita. Thanks so much. And how old are you now, Kurita?
Hey, I'm 12 years old, man. What can I tell you?
We wish.
man, that's the way I feel. That's the way I feel. That's the way I move in the cage. And you will see it in March 13, You know, I mean, man, I train with a lot of young kids, and I'm 38, man, and you know, and I don't have any shame. I'm not gonna go around the bushes. But man, I train with a lot of young kids, 25, 27. They can't catch up with me in the speed, and so you know, I have no injury, which allowed me. I got my left foot right now that is bothering me, little things that bother me there. But besides that, you know, I don't have big injuries like meniscus, shoulders, this and that, you know, which allow me to keep my speed, my focus. And besides that, the knowledge that I have, it's a great combo, man. You will see March 13, man. Great show. Don't miss this fight, man.
Thank you, Gavita. Everyone needs a massage every now and then just to get rid of all that stress. And if you think it's just only a mental thing, it's really not. It's more of a physical thing. So head on over to Massages in Space, located in Miami. That's massagesinspace.com for all the information. Maria's going to take care of you. Trust me. Massagesinspace.com. Well, folks, you've heard there from Kyander Cubita Rodriguez, who fights this Friday at the Bank United Center, part of the House of Fame MMA fight card. That's March 13th. Tickets are on sale right now, Ticketmaster.com, but we're giving away two free tickets. All you have to do, head on over to theromanshow.com. All the details are there on how to win your way into HOF this Friday, which I am pumped. I'm going to be calling the action with UFC fighter Hector Lombard in Espanol. So that will be live on GFL.TV. All right, switching courses now. We're going to head and talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of MMA. By the way, locally, Dogfights, the movie, sort of like a documentary based on backyard fights that have taken place down here in South Florida by director Billy Corbin, will be debuting this Thursday, March 12th at 7 p.m. at Old Cinema in Miami Beach. It's part of the Miami Film Festival. Dada 5000, Darius Harris will be there as well. He is a very big part of that movie. And you can see all the details on some of the fighters that are featured on that film have actually made it professionally in mixed martial arts. One of them being Mike Nates, Level Martinez, Kimbo Slice, George Masvidal. These guys battled in the backyards here in South Florida. And that is what this movie is all about, Dogfight. It's a movie that we've talked about a very long time ago. I think it was 2 years ago we had Billy Corbin here on the program. We're trying to get him again. And he was telling us about this movie, what it's about. If you enjoyed other films like Cocaine Cowboys, you will love Dogfight. So that takes place this Thursday, March 12th, 7 p.m. at Old Cinema Miami Beach. Fedor Emelianenko says, female fighters, they don't belong in MMA. It says MMA is for men. It's a man's sport, not females. Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you, Fedor. The ladies are doing a great job at mixed martial arts. And I don't know about you guys, but I love watching a woman's fight because they really give it their all. Carlos Condit has now been scheduled a fight against Thiago Alves. It's targeted for UFC Fight Night 67 in May. This weekend, there's a big pay-per-view with a UFC fight card. Two titles on the line. Anthony Pettis will put up his lightweight title against Rafael Dos Anjos. And Carla Esparza will be putting her strawweight title against Joanna Kirkish. Matt Brown versus Johnny Hendricks. Roy Nelson versus Alistair Overeem. Chris Carriazo versus Henry Cejudo. That is all part of the main card this week, 10 p.m., March 14th. The UFC pay-per-view on the FX prelims. You got Ross Pearson versus Sam Stout, Roger Narvaez versus Elias Fiordan, and so much more. You want to check that out this Saturday, the UFC pay-per-view. And Sergio Pettis, the brother of Anthony Pettis, will be on that in the UFC Fight Pass starting at 6:30 p.m. with Ryan Benoit versus Sergio Pettis. Moving forward, word is getting on that, well, CM Punk had his first MMA live scrimmage, and Duke Rufus of Rufus Sport MMA Academy has said that the guy's looking good. He said he noted that he's seen how CM Punk is moving, and he says he's like a sponge,
And word is that he might be fighting in the welterweight division, and that the guy is in phenomenal shape, and that he is going to bring in a new crowd, that wrestling crowd, which is the same crowd that Brock Lesnar brought when he debuted in the UFC a while ago. So CM Punk looking good. Many people have been calling him out. Who is his opponent going to be? Well, we're going to have to be patient and find out, because we still don't know yet. Hey, next week, guys, we're going to have Kelvin Gastelum and Efrain Escudero. Both these gentlemen will be coaches on The Ultimate Fighter Latin America. So Kelvin Gastelum and Efrain Escudero on The Roman Show next week. And the World Series of Fighting lightweight champion Justin Gaethje will be on the program, as he is scheduled to fight against Luis Babun Palomino March 28th live on NBC Sports. Now we're going to go to another interview with Edwin Mejia. He is a producer of Generation Iron, as we discussed earlier. The bodybuilding world for some time now has been dormant, but Generation Iron has helped this sport back on the map. Check this out. Check what Edwin Mejia has to say about bodybuilding and the movie itself. We'll be right back after this short break. Hey, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show and visit our website, theromanshow.com, where you will find information only found on The Roman Show. That's theromanshow.com. We're live 24/7. All right, welcome everyone to The Roman Show. Make sure you follow us on social media at The Roman Show. And visit the website, theromanshow.com, where you can find out on all the latest interviews that we have for you. All right, on the line, ladies and gentlemen, and if you haven't done so, you need to check out Generation Iron. It's right now on Netflix. It was released back in 2013. But now we're getting the opportunity of watching it on Netflix. You can see it anytime you want. I've already seen it twice personally. But right now we have the producer of Generation Iron, Mr. Edwin Mejia. How are you, Edwin? Welcome to The Roman Show.
Good, good. Doing well. Thank you for having me on the little part. I really appreciate it. Really excited to talk about Generation Iron, and thrilled to be on.
Yeah. Well, Edwin, let's talk about this movie. When it first came out, I really wanted to see it, because I always look back at Pumping Iron, and Pumping Iron was such a great movie, and the fact that, you know, it looks at the lives of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Lou Ferrigno. And man, you are not human if after watching that movie you don't want to go to the gym and pump some iron. And you know, and sometimes, you know, you always have that skepticism of saying, you know, is it going to be as good as that movie? But I have to tell you that Generation Iron did a good job on that, because it did. It personally, I practice now martial arts. It made me want to go and beat the crap out of a boxing punching bag. But regardless, to say Generation Iron was great. Tell me about what you have heard now since the release of that movie, now 2 years ago, 2013. What has been the talk about it since that movie released, and has it helped the bodybuilding world?
You know, making Generation Iron has been a fascinating ride for us. I mean, you know, everybody's been a big fan of Pumping Iron, especially, you know, back in the late 70s and 80s. And, you know, the movie's still around today, and people really love it. I mean, we were in no way trying to make a movie that was better than Pumping Iron. I mean, we just wanted to make a movie that was a lot more in-depth. You know, Pumping Iron captured these characters like, you know, Lou Ferrigno and Arnold, of course, guys with great charisma, you know, on a big stage. We really wanted to go in more depth. And the director, Vlad Yudin, you know, really did a great job doing that. And came up with the idea of, you know, doing this bodybuilding movie, which initially I thought was a little wild. But I thought that, you know, it would be amazing to really showcase these guys, because a lot of people have misconceptions about bodybuilding, you know, about steroid uses. You know, obviously, you know, you look at muscles and you think, you know, the guy has no brains. But in watching Generation Iron, you'll realize these guys have a lot of brains and a lot more to just lifting weights. I mean, these guys are artists, painters, sculptors. They're really, really dynamic individuals. And we were very lucky enough to sit down with Jerome Gary, who produced the original classic, acclaimed movie, Pumping Iron. And he came on board to produce this movie, and we had these great characters that we discussed and we met with, like Kai Greene and Phil Heath, and we made it happen. And, you know, people really have gravitated towards the movie to really love it, appreciate it for what it is. And in many ways, similar to Pumping Iron, this movie is a huge motivation for many folks. And that's really one of the things that I'm most proud of, is that it allows to motivate people to stay in shape, go to the gym, you know, and have active lives. And that's a big part in what we need today in this world.
I think the million-dollar question is here, after being a part of that movie, have you yourself hit the gym, or did you already hit the gym already and just boosted up your training?
You know, that's a good question. We spent a couple of months with these guys, just seeing how they live, how they eat, how they work out, and spending even a couple of months with them, even a month or 2 months, you start to really learn about their training, their dieting, and even if you capture a little of that and you put it into your life, you know, things start to dramatically change for the good. And I did start to hit the gym. I started to eat a little healthier. I was really kind of just impressed as to how fast your body can change with a little dieting and nutrition, it's science. And in many ways, it's just a lot of benefits. And you know, I really appreciate it, and I really, really motivated. And I still go to the gym today.
Yeah, you look at some of these characters, Edwin, like Kai Greene, who I remember starts off peeny. Who would have thought, you know, you got this guy that weighs over 200 pounds, full of muscles, and there he is, painting, you know, so patiently and so quietly. And I remember how he gets to demonstrate some of his poses in front of the public, which he's an artist. And essentially, and I remember going back to Pumping Iron, how Arnold Schwarzenegger used to talk about how it starts off when they're in ballet, you know, they're practicing their posing. I mean, bodybuilder, yes, you have to train, you have to eat well, but it really is, in reality, you have that form of art because you are sculpting your body to look a certain way. What were some of the difficulties in filming these movies? Because I do remember that you guys were chasing one of the bodybuilders. I can't remember right now his name, but he didn't really want to talk to the cameras at that point because he was upset because of the results. Did you find that happen several times, especially with Phil and Kai going at it one-on-one? There was a lot of heat. Was that real?
Yeah, you know, initially when you spend so many hours and days and months with a guy, an athlete, you know, athletes to me are, you know, a very creative, very intuitive. They're artists at the end of the day, and they need their space, and they're not used to having people invade their privacy. But we were really granted this intimate setting, and, you know, we got into their lives, and they trusted us with really, you know, with all the information that we were able to get from them and gather. And you know, we made them feel comfortable, you know, and the results are there. Certainly, when you see the movie, you realize that there were a lot of moments where you would never be able to get such intimate moments without really being inside the gym, inside their homes, you know, also going into their, you know, personal settings, whether it's during a hobby or whatnot. And you can tell that, you know, these guys really trusted us, but it was very difficult sometimes because, you know, capturing those emotions were everything for a movie like this. And a guy like Victor Martinez, who's from New York, mm-hmm. you know, had his sister was murdered, been through a lot of ups and downs, got injured, and then was at the top of bodybuilding world several years ago, and now he's basically like the stock market. It was like a roller coaster for him. It was really difficult to capture him on screen because he had a lot of personal moments he did not want in the movie, but ultimately he did trust us, and you can tell from the movie that, you know, guys like him and obviously Kai Greene and Phil Heath all have really dynamic personalities, and that's really why we wanted to make this movie, to show the world that there's more than to just bodybuilding. There's a lot more. There's a lot of brains involved, a lot of science, and these guys, a lot of them are role models, and bodybuilding is a sport.
Now, one thing I am glad as a fan of the sport is that you guys touched on the subject of steroids, and they were very open about it, and I particularly like that one bodybuilder, how he's trying to use medicine and technology so he can win the bodybuilding contest instead of the old school way of just training hard and, you know, cutting repetitions and so forth. But the steroid topic was obviously, it's a very sensitive subject, especially in bodybuilding. You mentioned that word to bodybuilders, it's kind of like an insult. But how did you guys try to speak about that, and were they okay with it? How open were they? Was there a little difficulties there?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you know, we really wanted to get as much input as possible regarding that subject, because bodybuilding is it's a sport that's been around for many years, and steroids as well is a very taboo topic. But we wanted to explore that with not only the bodybuilders, but also get an opinion from doctors, and that's why we were able to get Dr. Jim Stepani, who's been in the bodybuilding sport and in industry for quite some time now. And we were able to address the topic of steroids with him. And then, you know, it was well addressed in the movie, because he had a really good understanding. He was a bodybuilder his whole life. He's also a doctor. He understands nutrition and dieting and how it affects your body. And ultimately, you know, steroids is a topic that we really felt comfortable with after discussing it with Jim Stepani. And I think he addressed it really well in the movie.
Yeah, he surely did. Now, back to Phil and Kai, which are pretty much the top stars there in that movie. When these guys were going at it and you felt that heat between them, how did you guys feel? I mean, did in your mind, did you think, how in the world am I going to stop these two behemoths from going at it one-on-one? Who's going to stop these two?
Well, you know, Phil Heath is this guy who, you know, who's like an all-American, charismatic man from originally from Seattle, living in Denver, and he's a great athlete. You know, he's really gifted. I mean, they call him the gift for a reason, but he's just genetically gifted, and he's this guy who you also root for, but you also root for him because he represents, you know, everything that's about this country. And same thing with Kai, but the difference with Kai is that, you know, Kai being the underdog, I mean, everybody loves the underdog story, and Kai is this guy, you know, comes from the projects, you know, was abused as a child, has overcome so many obstacles, and it was just great to have that on camera, because he's just been through so much, and people wanted to root for him. And then just a back and forth initially, you know, they didn't really like each other at first, but you know, they do respect each other. They respect each other's profession and how they go about doing their thing, and it was just great to get that on camera.
We're speaking to Edwin Mejia, producer of Generation Iron, which you can watch right now on Netflix. You could also purchase it on iTunes and on DVD also, right, Edwin?
Yes, that's right. On DVD, it should be available. It's on generationiron.com, and then obviously it's on Netflix now.
And Edwin, so what's next? Are we going to see perhaps a continuation of the documentary, or this is pretty much where you hang it up? I mean, there's not too many sequels to documentaries, but you know, this one deserves a shot. I mean, Mr. Olympia is every single year, so what happens next?
Yeah, you know, we've been asked that question a couple of times now. I mean, for us, you know, we when Pumping Iron came out, you know, there was a Pumping Iron 2 came out, and we don't really want to tarnish the movie's, success, and certainly, you know, the message that it had, because it's really hard as filmmakers to make another sequel that is just as great. I mean, this was just a different movie in itself, but we are very active in the sports world. We produced the Olympia as well. We're big fans of the sport. You know, we're thinking about a few things, but, you know, we might be open to doing a TV show soon. Mm. So I'll keep you posted on that for bodybuilding and bodybuilding fans. So stay tuned. We should be making an announcement fairly soon.
Oh, looking forward to that. So bodybuilder is still alive, right? Because you go back to the Arnold Schwarzeneggers and, you know, the Lou Ferrignos that really kept that sport alive and took it mainstream. But it seems that because of, with the help of this movie, this documentary, it has also brought it to life.
It has. I mean, you see Kai Greene now. I mean, he's been on ESPN several times now. He's, you know, for the Super Bowl. And I mean, you know, bodybuilding as a sport is a very international sport. It still continues to be very international. And, you know, I think it's going to continue to grow just because bodybuilding has been a huge influence for many other sports, you know, whether it's MMA or, you know, football. I mean, it's around and it's everywhere. So I think it's a great thing to utilize for motivation, and it's always going to be around.
And one last question, and I understand that you're also working on an MMA documentary. Can you go into a little details about that, or as much as you know?
Right now, the project is in development. I mean, we haven't been able to make an announcement quite yet, but we're hoping to come to, you know, production terms soon, and hopefully we'll make an announcement.
Right, well, looking forward to that. Well, I want to thank you very much for
joining us here on The Roman Show and speaking to us about Generation Iron, which, again, you can find on Netflix.com, or you can go ahead and visit GenerationIron.com or purchase it on iTunes or pick it up at your local store. Edward, anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I mean, we have a special collector's edition that's available on GenerationIron.com. So for you fans that want to see some extra behind-the-scenes footage and certainly some deleted scenes from the film, I'd certainly encourage you to watch the director's cut, which is available, again, on GenerationIron.com.
Great. And by the way, did you guys have, like, a watch party? You invited all the bodybuilders to watch it together, and what was their reaction if you did have one?
We did. I mean, we had two premieres. We had one in New York and one in L.A. Would have been great to have you there, Rodolfo, but
yeah.
Next time.
Uh-huh.
But we had this nice premiere, and it was funny. I mean, obviously, the bodybuilders were all spread out, but they were, at times, you could tell some of them felt a little uncomfortable about certain things, and some of them were just, but they really enjoyed the movie. I mean, all these guys from Dennis Wolf, who's the German body, you know, mm-hmm. top German bodybuilder in the world, Hida Tada, the top Japanese bodybuilder in the world, and Phil and Kai, and all these other guys like Victor. I mean, they really enjoyed the movie, and I don't think any of them ever expected the movie to be a, such a big global release and scale the way it is now.
He did the top grossing movie of that year, so kudos to you, my man, and keep up the good work. And then I want to thank you again, once again, Generation Iron on Netflix, or you could go ahead and watch the extended cut, purchase it there, GenerationIron.com. Thanks so much, Edwin.
Thank you, Rodolfo. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys. Everyone needs a website for your business. It's just a must. If you don't have one, what the hell's wrong with you? But JoeOnline.com is a website you need to go. They will hook you up with an affordable website. That's called JoeOnline.com. They're the ones in charge of TheRomanShow.com. Visit them right now at JoeOnline.com. Alrighty, we're back on The Roman Show. We're going to segue now into pro wrestling as, well, WrestleMania is just, what, about 3 weeks away? WrestleMania 31 coming to you live from Santa Clara, California. So far, we have Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the title. Triple H versus Sting, that's 100%. Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt is now official yesterday on Monday Night Raw. Bray Wyatt got the Undertaker's response after the Undertaker was defeated in WrestleMania last year. He will be, once again, returning to WrestleMania. Let's see who is the new face of fear. John Cena versus Rusev. This is going to happen for the United States title match. And then the Intercontinental Championship ladder match featuring the champ, Barrett versus Harper, Truth, Ambrose, Ziggler. We still need to wait. And Daniel Bryan, where is he going to be placed? More than likely, I have him placed in the Intercontinental Championship ladder match. That'd be fun. And then you have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and a tag match between AJ Lee and Paige versus the Bella Twins. But there's still more. I'm sure Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins is going to be another match. And then he has the tag titles. So there's still a couple of more fights that they need to add. Also, Stardust versus Goldust more than likely are going to happen. Well, the WWE registered the old click hand gesture for merchandising. If you haven't or if you're not aware, the New Japan Pro Wrestling has a faction or a group stable known as the Bullet Club, which features guys like AJ Styles, the Young Bucks, used to have none other than, God, it escapes my name right now. Why? Finn Balor used to be in the Bullet Club. And how they greet each other is with the whole too sweet gesture, you know, the NWO sign. So WWE is going to register the click hand gesture for merchandising. So more than likely, these guys are not going to be able to do that anymore over in Japan. We're just going to have to wait and see for that. Well, again, I want to invite everyone to House of Fame MMA this Friday, March 13th at the Bank United Center with a special intermission performance by Fat Joe. Man, that's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to be jamming and dancing. That's too much. I'm getting ahead of myself. We got a show to do. All right, so coming up next, CJ Pierce of Drowning Pool, who has now heard Sinner, the debut album of Drowning Pool. And who can remember the last time where Drowning Pool was at WrestleMania playing in front of a big, gigantic audience, opening up for Triple H playing the game. Dave Williams as a lead singer. Till this day, I watch that video, and it gets me hyped before my workout. Well, we had a chance to catch up with CJ Pierce as they make their way down to Florida this weekend. Check this out. CJ Pierce on The Roman Show talking some metal.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready. You're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off the bank.
All right, everyone, MMA returns to South Florida at the Bank United Center in Coral Gables as a Hall of Fame takes place. Bank United Center, tickets are on sale right now, Ticketmaster.com. The event will take place on March 13th. Do not miss it. Special performance of Fat Joe and so much more. We're on the line right now. We have Hyander Rodriguez, who will be fighting Gleason De Jesus on the fight card. Hyander, Cubita, welcome to the Roman Show.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Well, it's been a while since you've been in action. I want to say, since the CFA fight card, that you've been in action?
Yeah, that's correct. That was 3 years ago. But I tell you this, man, I'm training with the best thing ever, MMA master, man, you know, and I'm in a great shape. I've been doing my homework, class work. So I'm very excited for March 13th, you know, more than ready to you know, for my next battle. And like always, you know, excited and ready to put a good show, man.
And how come the layoff of 2 years?
Guess what, man? I'm getting a lot of knowledge and experience, and you know, more nothing. I know I'm gonna be a little rusty in the cage, but guess what? Like I say, my knowledge, my experience is gonna be a big factor in this fight. And you know, I can't wait for March 13th. You guys gonna see Covita's back always. Better than ever.
Yeah, I remember your last fight. It was definitely something breathtaking, just nonstop, you know, trading blows. Coming into this fight, though, you are fighting Gleason De Jesus, a young kid, a young prospect. What can you tell me about his opponent? Have you seen him in action here in South Florida fighting?
Yeah, he's a very excited fighter, you know, training with a great camp, ATT. You know, but I mean, it's tough to make fights, and I'm not a mutt. I can fight. This is what I love to do, man, and this is in my blood. I've been doing this for many, many years, and I get. I'm pretty sure, like I said, my experience is gonna be a big factor in this fight, and my cardio is amazing right now, man. You know, I've been doing everything that I have to do. Follow my coaches, my strategy, my training camp. So, you know, I train with the best guys here in South Florida, man, and you know, ready, excited. I can't wait. March 13th, you know, Edge Oil is giving me opportunity to enjoy that the show and be part of the band, and you know, represent my country, Cuba, which is, you know, it's always a pleasure for me. You know, one more time, I can't wait. March 13th, man. Very excited. Very focused.
And that's going to be great because you have the crowd support there. Obviously, a lot of the population here in South Florida are of Cuban descent. And going in there, that right there, is it nerve-wracking knowing that you have the support of all these people?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Say
it
again?
Does it get you a bit nervous coming back? It's been 2 years and you have all the support from the Cubans down here in Miami?
He's not fighting. They can say that, not, you know, there's always butterflies, but the ones that are ring bell, man, is me and him. And like I said, experience is going to be a big factor. And none, you know, always butterflies, but I'm not nervous at us, man. This is in order for us to step in the cage, you need to have that in your blood, and you need to love this. This is a passion, you know, what we do, and you know, it's more than I have. It's like an addiction. So yeah, I'm very excited, man, and like I said, butterflies, but I'm not nervous at all. I can't wait. I can't wait to come back and put my name out there. Represent my own school that I have. You know, I got my gym up in Kendall, Kuwait MMA, and also my Ken MMA master, my coaches, my training partners, and you know, my family. They always support me. Always step on my side. My fans, you know, and the crowd, man, that they always, you know, look forward to see. two excited fighters putting a good show, you know. I got nothing but respect for my opponents. A young kid, very strong kid. You know, he came to fight, and I'm coming to fight. So I'm pretty sure that both we're going to put a good show. And then the end of the night, we're going to shake hands, show respect for each other. That besides that, those three, five minutes round, we're going to try to rip our hair out of our shoulders. But, you know, that's part of the show, you know.
And Kurita, going into this fight, I remember not too long ago, you had an incident. Welcome back to the Roman Show. Rolf Roman here. Make sure you follow us on our Twitter account. That's at the Roman Show, or like our fan page at facebook.com, Roman Show Media. Well, on the line, in just a few seconds, we're going to present a gentleman who's been rocking the stage. And he's come down here with his band several times to Florida. And Drowning Pool will be waking his way back to Daytona Beach March 12th and Jacksonville March 14th. For more information, you can visit drowningpool.com. And right now we have CJ Pierce of Drowning Pool. Welcome to the Roman Show, CJ.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, CJ. You know, I've seen you live here in Florida, specifically in South Florida, several times. I mean, I'm going to take you back. So I want to say maybe 2000, it was part of a festival. It might have been Halloweeny Roast. It was a local rock station down here.
Yeah, man.
Way back. I mean, we're talking about way back. And I remember when Bodies hit, when you guys played Bodies, I remember the mosh pit. Someone brought in, it got like WWE in there. Someone brought a fire extinguisher and a chair. I have no idea where the heck they found it. But that was the type of action and activity that was going on in the pit. What are some of the fond memories that you have performing in Florida?
Oh, man, I love playing in Florida. You know, I grew up in Louisiana. I grew up in New Orleans. So I'm all about the humidity and all that stuff down there. So I feel right at home when I'm in Florida. Plus, we've made a lot of friends over the years. So I love playing there, man. Honestly, I don't think we get there enough. You know, I wish we could play there more often. So I'm always trying to shoot to get back to Florida. But we hit Jacksonville on the last run. So I'm glad we get to do that again. I'm definitely looking forward to Bike Week. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's a big, big event. And hopefully we can get you down here in South Florida. It's been a while since you guys have been down here.
It's been way too long, man. We need to get back down there. So make a call, man. You make the call. We'll show up.
We need you guys down here. Now, we're celebrating the life of Dave Williams already been 13 years and also the 13 years of Sinner the Album, which is an album that, I mean, every freaking song in that album just totally rocks. I can play that thing 50 million times, never get bored of it. I hear that thing all the time when I hit to the gym. So you're going to be performing, your entire band is going to be performing the entire album on this tour?
We're going to be doing the album in its entirety. You know, we just re-released the Sinner record, like you said. We also have, like, a bonus CD that comes with it with the 13-year anniversary. We have a lot of we had a lot of demos that we did back in the day. And demos of the songs that are on the record, but also other songs that haven't been released. And we're going to pop some of those out in the set as well, man. So it's you got to check out the show, dude. It's been a lot of fun to do it and play the whole record in its entirety. Plus, we also play some of the other tracks, too, that we have. But you get the whole Sinner record, man.
How do bands work that out? Because you're going to play this album probably about, 48 minutes or so, and then you have to really pick and choose from all the hits that you have. So how do you sit down and really pick and choose what songs you're going to play? Because you're already playing 48 minutes of the album.
Yeah, we usually, what we've been doing the last shows on the last run anyway, we kind of open up the show playing a few of the singles from other records first, and then we jump into the Sinner record and do the kind of the second half of the set with that. But it's a nightly thing, man. We change up the set constantly in this band, dude, and we usually do it 5 minutes before we go on, which is always, you know, fun and exciting, but at the same time, it's kind of like a Grateful Dead thing. Like, every night it's a completely different show. We have so many songs and five different records we get to choose from, but it never fails, though, man. I really enjoy this tour. We're probably going to continue to do that, play, you know, all the songs off the Sinner record, because like you said, man, they're just fun songs to play live. Everybody knows us from that, and the crowd goes nuts every night when we play it, whether it's 2 people or 20,000 people, man, it's always a good time.
And looking at this album, what do you credit the success, aside from every single song in that album being a hit? Obviously, Dave's vocals are just phenomenal, but what is it about that album? It seems like the album has received like a cult, you know, a strong following.
Yeah, man, I think it's just, we were talking about that as a band, actually, the other day. It's just the mind frame that we're in. I think the time that we wrote it, you know, we're all getting along really well. We're all, you know, been friends since high school, and you know, at that time in our career, it wasn't like we were trying to get a record deal or anything like that. We were just kind of playing at bars for free beer money, dude, just having fun with it. It wasn't about anything else but just having a good time and enjoying ourselves and just writing songs that we like to play. But, and I think that came across, you know, obviously came across in the songs, came across on the album.
Now, since the unfortunate loss of David, it's been a roller coaster for you guys, different vocalists all the time. How have you managed to stay together? I mean, that in itself is a challenge. And even for the new person coming in, to step into the shoes.
Yeah, I think with Jason Moreno, you know, our singer that we have now, it's definitely would have been the biggest challenge for him because, you know, we've had a few singers before that. He has to, you know, he's got to do a great job singing the songs that we've already had with all the singers we have before. But I think he's by far done the best job with all the stuff we have with Dave Williams. I mean, Jason Moreno came up on the scene with us in Dallas. We've known him for years. You know, he knew Dave. We were all friends. He used to play, you know, we used to play shows together back in the day. So he, you know, it's like friends and family again. That's what it's got. That's what it's all about, man. He does a great job. We rehearse all the time, dude.
And I want to remind everyone that right now you can get on sale the 13th anniversary of Sinner, and it comes with a DVD. You can go to drowningpool.com for more information. I want to also bring out Jessie James, the porn actress. You seem to have a good connection in one of the albums there. Can you tell us about how that relation came about?
You know, we're just mutual friends, and it just happened to be the right place, right time. You know, doing the second record, and we're coming up with artwork ideas, and then also, you know, we were coming up with a video for Step Up. And, just mutual friends in the business. And that was a pretty wild day. Good times.
Is she a fan of the music as well?
Yeah, you know, she pops in every now and then. It's always, like, unexpected to just show up somewhere. You know, we've kind of, you know, you still see them over the years. You know, it's just here and there. It's always random. And it's like, oh, hey, so-and-so's here. But that kind of goes with everybody, man. You just never know from night to night. There's always somebody you've known, somebody you haven't seen in years, they catch up with you. And same goes in that situation.
You know, you've traveled with so many bands, and one of the bands you've traveled several times is Seven Dust. And I remember that they wrote a song for a lost one, you know, Angel Sun. And you guys then later on decided to put out a song in memory of Dave, which is titled In Memory Of. Was it difficult to write that song, and is it difficult for you to perform it live? Because I remember seeing LeJohn not too long ago here in Florida, and he sang Angel's song, and it reminded him of someone he passed away just recently. The guy was in tears, and even though he's played this thing or sang this thing hundreds of times.
Yeah, man. You know, that was a song I had been working on for a little while. At first, it kind of started out as a song kind of like a hats off to, you know, we had lost Dimebag a while ago, and then, you know, obviously Dave as well. So it kind of became in memory of, kind of made it more of a general song. About, it's for everybody who's ever lost a friend or family member. I mean, it definitely started with the loss of Dave and the loss of Dimebag that was the influence to start writing this song itself. But it wasn't really until we got together with Jason Moreno that when I kind of, you know, showed him some of the demos and some of the ideas I had for it. When he started singing on it, man, it really came together. And we played that song a lot. In fact, we talked about bringing that back into the set list at some point here in the future. Because it is a song like that. And it definitely gets emotional. I know, again, like you said, like Angel Sun with Seven Dust. You know, we still tour on and off with those guys for years. And that song, you know, Fillin' Straight from Snot. And it's an emotional song, man, for sure. I mean, music's powerful like that.
You guys have had a good time with the WWE. Take me back to when the Drowning Pool performed in WrestleMania and the entrance of Triple H. I mean, I could watch that thing hundreds and hundreds of times. I get chills to this day.
Man, it was so cool to be able to do that. I mean, I wish they'd have us back again, man. We had such a great time with it. The song still gets used a lot with wrestling and just any kind of sports thing, man. It just the song just kind of came out like that. But, but at that time, meeting all the wrestlers, doing WrestleMania 18, it wasn't just the fact there were, you know, like 60,000 people at the Sky Dome, but it was televised, you know, across the whole planet in front of millions of people. And I'll just never forget that, dude. It was super cool. It was live, so you had to play every note right or the whole world was going to see you mess up, man. But, you know, as soon as you start playing, man, you just go into it, you go in automatic mode. And it was a great time, dude.
Awesome experience. How different was that compared to all the touring you have done?
You know, for the most part, I mean, it's always killer, dude. Every night, you never know what you're going to get. You know, again, whether some nights it's club shows, next night it's arena rock. I love it all, man. I do love the big show, you know, when you can bust out the big the lights and fire and all that good stuff. But I love it all, man, because even at the club shows, you can still, you know, get to hang out and meet everybody that shows up. But I love them all, man. It's just, I mean, that's definitely one of the highlights. You're at a big event like that, and definitely meeting all the wrestlers was really cool. They were all super nice guys.
Yeah, I just remember that image of Triple H just, you know, pointing at you guys when you guys were playing. I mean, that just gives me chills just thinking about it. You also have a side project, As Above and So Below, with your brother. You were just touring with them not so long ago. How do you manage the time? Drowning Pool and this other band.
Man, I appreciate you bringing that up. I'm having a good time with my brother. You know, we've always talked about doing a project together, and we finally got it off the ground and get going. It does take a lot of my time, dude. We just did a couple shows this past weekend, and we have a lot of shows going on right now. And I'm actually recording a full-length CD right now in my home studio in between all the Drowning Pool stuff. So it's definitely nonstop, man. And you just got to manage your time. And then also, on top of that, a friend of mine, he has a school here, and he teaches. And in between that stuff, I kind of been subbing for him, so also giving guitar lessons on top of it. And also have a studio, and I've been recording bands. There's a band out of Houston that I'm called Cloning. I'm recording right now as well. So, yeah, man, there's no rest for the wicked, dude. There's no scene, dude. It's all music and rock and roll, and I love doing it all. So, but most importantly, man, you know, I love Drowning Pool. It's that's my, you know, it's my brothers, and rocking and rolling, keeping it going, man.
And with this band, As Below, So Below, you're working on music, but what about Drowning Pool? Any new music in Drowning Pool?
Yeah, we just recently, you know, we've been kicking back and forth. We have more songs written now than probably our whole back catalog. I mean, you know, Jason's a singer-songwriter. Stevie's been bringing stuff to the table. Mike, all of us, you know, we all write now together, and we have a lot of tunes. So recently we just kind of honed in on what tunes we want to put on the next record. And we have been debating for a while whether we wanted to go into a studio or we want to record on our own. And, you know, I've been recording a lot of bands. I've been getting into that a lot. And then obviously I'm doing the As Above, So Below record. I'm recording that on my own as well. So it looks like we may wind up recording this record on our own. And I might wind up doing it. So we'll see about that. We're going to do this run. As soon as we get back home, we're going to make that decision. So we may wind up doing it, you know, self-recorded and everything, man. You just got to do it like that nowadays.
TJ, man, I want to thank you so very much. I know you guys are tied up with traveling all over the country. Again, check them out. They're coming to Florida in just a few days at Daytona Beach, March 12th, and Jacksonville, March 14th. You can visit drowningpool.com for more information. CJ, thanks so much, man, and see you on stage.
All right, man. I look forward to it, man. We got to get back to South Florida, man.
Please.
Thanks for having me.
Please. Thank you, my man. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye. And there you have it, folks. CJ Pierce of Drowning Pool. Sorry, we played a little bit of a Cubita Rodriguez's interview. Wanted some folks were requesting it, and we got just a little snip of it. But you could catch it in its entirety earlier on in the show, if you happen to miss it now. Well, with that said, I'd like to thanks to everyone to joining us here today on The Roman Show, this March 10th edition. Make sure to watch GFL.TV. That is where House of Fame MMA will be taking place, or make it out to the Bank United Center Friday night, March 13th. Do not miss it in Coral Gables. Catch you all next week. We got Kelvin Gustelum, Efrain Escudero, and World Series of Fighting Lightweight Champion, Justin Gaethje. Good day, guys.